Was it just a few weeks ago that the Chicago media was telling you, because they wanted to protect Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, that crime was down? I can think of all the chattering of the chattering classes telling you, crime is down. You conservatives are crazy. Crime is down. But you wouldn't tell that to people who lived in the neighborhood. You wouldn't tell that to Corey Brooks, Pastor Corey Brooks, who will be our guest on the Chicago Way podcast today. His godson was killed in what we euphemistically call gang violence. It's really violent young men with guns who are in street gangs who have grown up with no hope and no direction. I'm looking at the National Crime Victimization Survey. Crime is up about 37%, I believe. Incidents of reported violent crime, including rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, is up from 5.6 per 1,000 to 8.7 per 1,000. That's an amazingly high number. And you think of it as a number, but really, there are human beings at the end of that sentence and those numbers that are screaming in agony and pain, and they're burying their loved ones, and they're looking out the window in sorrow as the cities, the blue cities run by Democrats, fall apart, and the media itself, wed to the Democrats, gaslight the public. We're seeing this all over in every sector. It's soon going to hit police and fire because the pension system is falling apart. And when you tell those cops, there's only an outside chance that they'll get 30 cents on the dollar for their pensions. What do you think is going to happen to public safety? They're not going to get out of their car. And they're not going to do anything. I mean, a reasonable person wouldn't do anything. They'd just protect themselves. And that's what's happening is aldermen pretend to be upset over Kennedy Bartley, one of Mayor Johnson's top aides, accused of using anti-Semitic language on social media and hating cops and making inflammatory remarks about police officers on a podcast. And you know what? I really don't want to make this about myself, but it is, because Kennedy Bartley, accused of specific anti-Semitic language on social media and hate talking about cops as effing pigs, she's been sort of protected by the media. They attacked me, Robert Feeder, Greg Pratt, the Chicago Tribune Guild, all of them, because I dared stand up for you people and talk about George Soros, who's funding idiots like Kimberly Fox, the left-wing prosecutor who doesn't prosecute. And that's where I mark the beginning of the end for Chicago. And all that's going on. And where are you? As you're listening to this, as you're thinking your city's falling apart, the media doesn't care about anti-Semitic action unless they can try to use it to smear a conservative. But they don't care when a black Marxist does it. You're on the Chicago Way podcast. You're on the Chicago Way podcast with Corey Brooks, Pastor Corey Brooks from Project Hood, Jeff Carlin of WGN Radio, and me, John Cass of John Cass News, your website for a good cup of common sense on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago way.
The Chicago way.
That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
As promised, our friend, Pastor Corey Brooks. Good morning, Pastor. Welcome to the Chicago Way.
Good morning, John. Thank you for having me on. I greatly appreciate it.
I'm really sorry for you and your family that you experienced that terrible loss of your, is it a godchild, your godson?
Yeah, it's my godchild, godson, and good kid. And thank you for your condolences and all the people from across Chicago and around different places who have sent prayers and well wishes. I really appreciate it.
It does illustrate something that many of us and you and the people listening have known and were angry about, and that is crime really didn't, despite the media's intention to make things easier on the Biden administration, crime did not go down. Crime has been going up. I think it's up to 37% now from last year, and it's a dangerous thing. And people like you and your family and his mother, young man's mother and father, and everyone pays for it in sorrow.
Yes, you know, we try to tell people that you can't always listen to the propaganda. You have to look at real life experiences sometimes to understand that there's a lot of hypocrisy when it comes to reporting violence in America. And we see every day in Chicago and other large urban centers just how violent things can be. And you're right, crime is steadily increasing, regardless of what they say and how they make the statistics. We are experiencing it every single day, and we see it happening.
And Pastor, the last time we spoke to you was just before the summer, and everyone was kind of gearing up for the DNC, and you know, we were maybe planting the seed of a counter convention. And I know you were very busy with Project Hood and the New Beginnings Church to probably take anything else on. But how was the summer for the organization and the work you're doing there to create a center for people to, you know, further themselves and hopefully escape the grasp of the streets?
You know, we're doing a lot of training, construction training, electrical training. We had a big summer push to really help people get on the right track. So we did a good push for CDL licensing. Helping guys to get their own licenses back and re-entry programs, and so that we don't continue to have the recidivism with guys going back and forth to prison. And we're just keeping our hands really busy at trying to help people. You know, we believe in opportunity, and we believe that everyone ought to have a chance to live the American dream. And so we really push hard on creating these opportunities so that people can transcend where they are and also hopefully start to live a different type of lifestyle.
And one of the things, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you today is because you wrote a great opinion piece for Fox News, and I'm going to read the headline. And if you could give us the elevator pitch on why people should check it out and what your intent was there. But Democrats continue to play black people for fools, and you won't believe the latest example. What sparked that? Take us to the root of that.
So what sparked it was in California, they were putting forth a bill that would allow illegal immigrants to get $150,000 home or up to $150,000 in resources to acquire a home. And the sad part about it was that they were using the Black Caucus in California to really push this agenda. And I thought, what hypocrisy. Here is a very large group of blacks in California who are been pushing reparations, and this same black caucus voted reparations down for black people, but voted $150,000 for illegal immigrants. And I thought, what hypocrisy, because the very people that they depend on, they're now rejecting any of their claims or any of their pushes. And then they're going to turn around and ask them to not just continue to vote for them, but also share this tax burden that is going to be put in place. And so it was just so much hypocrisy.
We are speaking with Pastor Corey Brooks, Southside pastor of the Project Hood. And I'm following you on Facebook and donating. And we ask all of you, all good people, to help him in what he's doing. He's trying to save lives out there. And but when you point out the hypocrisy of the Democrats, is there a blowback to you? Because they don't like to be mocked.
Yeah, John, without a doubt. There is always blowback. You know, on the south side of Chicago, being a black pastor and declaring that you're a conservative can get you into a lot of trouble. Mm. And then to declare that you feel like Democrats are taking advantage of people, that can get you even in more trouble. So I get a lot of blowback, but I continue to push what I believe is right, and I continue to support great efforts. Like the efforts that we're doing, and I just keep working and ignoring the naysayers and ignoring those in the crowd and ignoring those who would push back on some of the values that I hold.
Pastor Brooks, I wanted to get your take on something. You know, a friend of the show, Heather McDonald, kind of has been writing pieces about how, you know, the family unit is probably, you know, is its weakest point in modern history here in this country. And we're seeing it, you know, children, you know, school shootings are up, crime on the streets among young people are up. The people who die in Chicago mostly are young people. You know, life expectancy for young black men in Chicago is probably at an all-time low. And we saw recently a school shooting in Georgia, and the father was charged within, you know, almost 48 hours with the crime that his child committed. But here in Chicago, you have young people who go through a revolving door of crime and through the judicial system, and the child is barely held responsible for it. Where do we go from here? I mean, how do we get parents involved in their kids' lives and keep them from letting this happen?
You know, I really do believe that even if you come from a single parent household or a two parent household, that parents have to be held more accountable for the actions of their children. I just did another story on the schools in Baltimore, how none of the children are proficient in math and reading at any of the schools out of 21 schools. And I was trying to communicate that we do a lot of blaming of politicians, of teachers, everybody. But ultimately, we have to look at these parents and say, what would allow you to have a child go all the way through elementary school not knowing how to read? So I think we have to do a better job at holding parents responsible. And I think if we did that more so in places like Chicago, we may not see a lot of the violence that we're seeing today.
The sad thing to me is that those parents who will let their child go all the way through without being able to read are the same ones who, let me generalize here, and it's difficult to generalize, but the same ones who, if they're African-American, if they're black, they're like, we have to vote for the vote. Black, we have to vote for Mayor Brandon Johnson because he's black and he understands us. These are the same people who are manipulated and made into fools. And then what? They realize that their babies cannot read. And what now? When do they realize it? On the way, when they're taking the bus to the county jail or to the prison to visit their sons? Is that when they realize it, Pastor?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not until things go awry and things go left that that people start to realize that, oh my God, I should have done something. And you're right when you say that when we continue to allow these young people to grow up without accountability and without helping them to do the basic things like reading and math, they are headed toward a life of destruction. It's been said that you can tell the prison population by third grade reading levels. Oh, okay. And if that is true, we're headed for a really big prison population because our children are not learning how to read and our parents have to make them responsible. And parents have to be accountable, for making sure that that happens.
But who's responsible then? The people who vote, in my mind, it's
oh, for sure.
The people who vote for Brandon Johnson. Not that I mean, there was yes. a clear choice. They could have had a manager who cared about the kids and spent all his life caring about kids and in Haiti and New Orleans and Philadelphia and Chicago. And they just, I guess they and the media in town said he wasn't black enough. So then they went the other way and they got their black mayor, but they also apparently got Kennedy Bartley, previously the managing deputy for external relations in Chicago. I guess it's a title for Marxists. And she has become infamous, Jeff and Pastor, for ripping on cops and saying she basically reviles police. I'm not going to mention what she said because I don't have a bleep button in my mouth. And Jeff, I don't want you to have to be overtaxed, but what do you make of that?
I believe that you're correct when you speak about how blacks continue to make these votes devoted toward Democrats oftentimes because of identity politics.
Yeah.
That we're so caught up in blackness that we oftentimes overlook values. And in the case in Chicago, you have a lot, those same people now are very upset. So it remains to see how they'll vote this next go around, because across the board, the mayor has unfavorable ratings, even amongst African Americans. And so we'll see what happens, but we definitely have to do a better job at getting people to understand what they're voting for, as compared to, color. And then as it relates to the lady who spoke ill will of the police, it's very disheartening. And I'm glad some of the aldermen are standing up and saying, hey, we can't allow this because we can't have people on the staff of government and then be totally with defunding, criticizing, restricting the police department. And that just sends a bad message all the way around.
Yeah, and this is a woman who said that, you know, all cops are just, you know, right around lynching black people. That's all they do. I mean, and this is, it's just unnerving that they could even get that close to the levers of power in a city where you need people with critical minds to do the things that need to be done. I mean, the city is in, the pigeons are coming home to roost as we find out that the city this year is almost $1 billion short. I'm going to be $1 billion short next year. And what are you doing? I mean, you've raised a lot of money, not from government entities. I mean, the city, as far as I know, is pretty much turned its back on what you do in one of the most dangerous neighborhoods in the city. And you raised funds from outside the city and from private citizens. What do you think? How do we get to people? I mean, can it get worse? I mean, can we? Where's the bottom?
Yeah, it definitely can get worse, and I think we're close. We're headed toward the bottom really fast, and $1 billion deficit is a big deal in a city like Chicago. And so, yeah, I agree with you totally.
That's $1 billion deficit for the schools and another $1 billion deficit for city government.
Wow.
If I could wave a magic wand, I would just install Paul Vallis as the mayor, but I can't. I tried and I can't. I don't have that kind of magic. But there it is. And I guess, you know, the media's good feelings about supporting black Marxists who are opposed to the aspirations and the souls of their people won't help them either. So what are they going to do to get the money to pay the debts that are crushing them?
Well, they're going to raise taxes on everything, and they're going to, you know,
bingo.
We're going to pay for it either by moving or forcing us to sell our property. I mean, property taxes, people are getting slapped with property tax increases.
Just don't come by me. Don't come by me out here in Indiana now. That's why I ran. I knew it was coming. But here's the thing. Our good friend Dan Proft is constantly reminding us, and is doing so again, that all these aldermen screaming about Kennedy Barkley and Mayor Johnson defending her and the alderman yelling, she was baked into the cake. This is who the Democrats are now. This is the Democratic Party. She's not some outlier. She's not the defund the police militant Democrat is not the outlier. This is who they are. This is the mainstream of the Democratic Party. Now, what are we supposed to do? I mean, I don't want all you guys moving next to me because it's crowded out here already. But really, what are we going to do?
I think we got to keep pushing the message of what's needed in the city of Chicago. And we have to push for new vision and doing something totally different than what's always been done. And you're exactly right that these individuals are progressives. They're far left. They're on the fringes, and they've become a part of the mainline thinking of the Democratic Party. And we not only see that at the local level, we see that at the national level too, even more so with the selection of the VP from Minnesota, who is one of the most liberal governors on the planet. So this is becoming their party. This is becoming their values. And so it even means more for people like us, John, to declare our voice and let it be heard so that people can understand that there is an alternative.
There's two alternatives, okay, in my view. Tell me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, both you and Jeff and Pastor, tell me if I'm wrong. We can do nothing, and then the whole thing collapses because the relationship between the people and their sense of public safety is rapidly diminishing and deteriorating, and basically it's gone. And the cops they're just one issue away from bolting and leaving us all without protection. And the other issue is if we do nothing and it devolves into chaos as it is now with Kim Fox selling her nonsense on WBBM radio idiocies, that there will come a time, human nature and history tells us, there will come a time when another candidate comes up from the bottom, we don't even know where he is now. And it was Malcolm X. And it will come up as Malcolm X because he experienced and spoke to the aspirations of a people that were continually smashed and belittled and demeaned by the politics of the time, just like now. I'm looking forward to Malcolm X, but I don't think that some of the aldermen would like it if he comes in.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we're going to need someone that comes from the bottom and someone to talk about the issues and keep them on the forefront, hold people accountable. the city of Chicago is in rapid decline. The mayor's favorable rating is at an all-time low. The aldermen are fighting amongst one another. The budget is crazy and crime is high. And we wonder why people are running to Indiana and Wisconsin and neighboring Michigan, because Illinois, along with Chicago, is just headed in a really bad direction.
Well, where's the media? Where's the Chicago Tribune that used to be a conservative paper? And I don't care what their politics are. Where are the people to hold the political figures like the governor and the mayor accountable? To say, what have you done, sir? What have you done with your nonsense and your talk of blackness as ideology? What have you accomplished with this besides destroy a city and a state? Is there anyone out there in the media that is speaking to this issue?
I think there are very few, and that's part of the problem. I think some of our main information sources are not doing what they good journalism, where they're just coming forth and telling the truth. I think sides have been picked and sides are being supported and agendas are being pushed. And that's just not good journalism. And I think the more we can hold them accountable, then the better off the people will be when they hear the truth from these sources. So I agree with you 100% that it's the media. We really need them to do a better job at pushing the message of what's going on.
And Pastor, I know you faced this a little. A conservative black pastor from Chicago, you know, you've faced pushback and there hasn't been, you know, it's not like people are embracing you all the time. Can you speak to a little bit about that, some of the trouble you've faced just trying to be an alternate voice in a world where, like you said, John, that the media only covers what the progressive, you know, viewpoint is.
So absolutely. You know, the pushback is real and you have to be courageous to be amongst sharks. And that's exactly what I am when I'm in the city of Chicago on the South Side, holding true to the values that I believe in. And there are a very large number, especially politicians who are less apt to help my organization or me simply because of my politics. And, you know, we get pushback from people who are entrenched in the Chicago way, the system way. And because of that, it just gives us more fuel because we're not going to allow what people don't do for us not to do for ourselves. So we are really adamant about changing people's lives and transforming our community. And we're determined to do that regardless of the pushback.
But I see, if I may, I see a media that is overwhelmingly progressive. The Chicago Tribune media, I don't know what they're about now. It's basically left-wing Marxism, as far as I'm concerned. And the broadcast is no better. I mean, seriously, the broadcast TV doesn't offer the people any kind of, I mean, I would like to, if I could make a show, I would make a nightly newscast with Pastor Brooks and Dan Proft, okay? Because people need to know the alternative view, but they don't get it.
Yes, that would be great. I would love to give some people an alternative view, and working with Dan Proft would be awesome. Working with you is awesome, and so I really appreciate the opportunity. But we got to continue to give people an alternative. We have to continue to spread the word about what's really going on. We have to come against certain philosophies and ideologies and give people clear vision and good information and just good truth principles. And I do believe when we can do that, we'll convince more and more people about which direction they should head.
You mentioned just a few minutes ago, you mentioned one of my favorite phrases of all time, the Chicago way. Could you tell us, and Jeff loves to get our guests to talk on this, and I will do it. What is the Chicago Way to you?
So, you know, the Chicago Way, there's a positive and a negative. There is the good and the bad. The good is that Chicago is a great city of hardworking people who, for the most part, want to simply just live the American dream. Chicago is made up of people who are definitely the Midwest type of people who are very strong and courageous. But on the opposite side, the negative side, the Chicago Way speaks to the machine that's in place, the system that's in place to continue to certain agendas, philosophies, ideologies. And the hard thing about the Chicago Way, when it comes to these systems and machines, they are very hard to break, and they are very hard to move the needle in another direction with an alternative. So when I think of the Chicago Way, I think of the good things and the bad things.
Well, you're definitely one of the good things in the Chicago Way, Pastor. There's no doubt about that. You're doing a lot of good there in the city where it needs all the help it can get. Where do you direct people? Where do you want people to go to find more?
Thank you. They can go to projecthood.org, projecthood, HOOD.org, projecthood.org, and they can find out all the wonderful things that we're doing, and they can find out about our upcoming gala and things of that sort, and all the wonderful programs that we use to help change people's lives.
I'm looking at it right now, projecthood.org, and changing lives, ending violence is the theme here, and I can't thank you enough for what you do, Pastor. It's like a thankless job, and you're going upstream all the time, fighting all these people that don't want to change, that want to destroy for their own power. And I just give you an idea, if I may, for a sermon upcoming. I mentioned it earlier. It's all those thousands of people on the buses and the trains that are going to prison and they're going to jail to visit their sons whose lives have been destroyed. And somewhere along the way, as they journey on that bus or on that train, it's cold, it'll be winter soon, do they ever look out and say, I should have read to my child more? I should have taught him that reading is the answer, like Martin Luther King said, not basketball or showbiz or violence. I wonder if they wonder about that, Pastor.
There's no doubt about it that people often regret once things have gone awry. And there's no doubt that when people have to go visit their children, I know sometimes they must be filled with regrets. That's the reason why it's imperative that we get parents to do what they need to do now before it's too late. Teach your kids how to read. Teach them how to have math. Make sure they get in a good school and get a good education. Take responsibility and accountability so that when they get older, you won't be visiting them in Statesville.
Pastor Corey Brooks, thank you for joining us on the Chicago Way, and come back again soon when you have the gala and we'll talk more about it. Try to sell some more tickets. Okay.
Well, thank you, John. As always, I really appreciate it. And thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
For Pastor Corey Brooks of Project Hood, trying to end senseless violence and recidivism, and building a community one neighborhood at a time. And for Jeff Carlin, my friend, and WGN executive producer, and for me, John Cass, editor of John Cass News, your favorite website where you always get a good cup of common sense. Subscribe today. Join us. And thanks, everyone, for listening. It's greatly appreciated. And Jeff and I want to say, lift your Chicago Way coffee cups, because there's nothing like a good cup of common sense when you're listening to the Chicago Way. Talk to you again next time. See you, Jeff. Bye.